Welcome to the 7th preseason, your Supercoach Coach podcast. This week I'm joined by Mark or FB Donkey.
G'day everyone, excited for footy this week.
And Faz.
Hey guys.
So we've got a really big show this week. We've got to cover all the rucks, take a look at that rookie R2 strategy that's gaining a bit of steam, and also look at GWS and Sydney rookies because they will be locked away after this weekend. So I'm going to jump straight into it, starting at the rucks. So we're going to start off with Dean Cox, who is the highest priced ruck, $662,000, and priced that way for good reason. Has been the premium ruckman for years of Supercoach now, and five-time All-Australian, and has played a bit more forward this year in the NAB Cup with Nat Nui getting a bit more of a run in the ruck and has been doing a pretty good job of it. And I know after his performance a couple of weeks ago when we first saw him do that well in the forward line, he was brought into a lot of teams after initially being passed over in the early stages of preseason.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me if Cox actually kicks 50-odd goals this year. I think he will spend a lot of extra time up forward and do quite well up there. I think this will affect his scoring, though, and there's a very good chance he'll be still the number one ruckman by the end of the year, but I doubt he'll be worth $660,000.
I'll probably agree with you there, Mark, in saying that I don't think he'll maintain his high average, but I guess with a lot of the premium ruck options looking a bit more shaky due to reasons like rucks needing management throughout the year or maybe a second ruck coming through at teams. I know Cox is being looked at a lot more, so I don't particularly dislike the pick, but as listeners would know, I do try to avoid paying full price for any one player. So I personally will be avoiding Dean Cox this year. Next player we're going to look at is somebody who's been gaining a lot of steam, particularly after last weekend's game. That's Shane Mumford. I think he had 42 hit outs on the weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, mate. But he was against the Gold Coast where they subbed Zach Smith out of the game. He wasn't up against their number one ruck combo. He was the sole Sydney ruck for the game, and he ended up with 133 Supercoach points. So that's pretty good, but it's really hard to get a read on that game because he was against such relatively poor opposition.
I think Mumford has a really high score ceiling. Last year we saw that he could quite comfortably pump out 130-plus games, and should he stay suspension-free, he should be a pretty good pick. Though the things that are worrying about his selection are that Longmire has mentioned that, one, he will likely need management throughout the season because of the physical demands in the ruck. So you can probably see Longmire probably reducing his game time, maybe subbing him out to manage him throughout the season, or I'm not exactly sure, but that is worrying. As well as, I think last week he came out and said that week to week, depending on the ruck opposition they come against, that they might go with different ruck structures. Again, you'd assume Mumford will stay at that number one ruck, but you add that to the management talk and maybe you're not so sure. But again, there are a lot of question marks over a lot of the premium rucks. So personally, I think Mumford looks like one of the best, and he's under heavy consideration for my team.
Yeah, what I really love about Big Mummy is that, you know, he's an absolute animal with the hitouts, as we saw on the weekend, but he also follows it up with great play in the contest afterwards. He follows up with a lot of, you know, feeding handballs out to the midfielders at Sydney. So, he's not just, one string relying on one sort of attribute to get those scores.
One player that has a really high ceiling as well, Marcus, is Aaron Sanderlands. He has averaged 110, 115 in the past. He was a number one ruck last year for a while, but then he's had the turf toe. He's had a bit of a limited preseason. He's had a recent, I think, a calf injury. So he's missed a bit of the preseason. There's just enough doubts there for me to stay away from Sanderlands this year. He could get off to a good start, but I think he will be managed as well because Fremantle really need him come the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Faz?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Mark. I'm just wary. You know, I've had him in most of the seasons that I have played Supercoach just because he's been that step above everybody, you know, bar Dean Cox. But now that, you know, the ruck rules have changed and there's a few more premiums to choose from, I'd look for someone who has a bit more job security, more just doesn't have that injury history behind him.
I got to agree with you guys there. I don't see Sandilands as selectable this year. Now, Matthew Lundberger hasn't been popping up in quite as many draft teams as I thought he would be. I'm guessing that's because Ben Hudson got drafted to the Brisbane Lions and there's a bit of doubt over how much time he might or might not take away from Lundberger. So how do you guys feel about Ben Hudson and how he might affect Lundberger? Is he even a factor at all? Is he just going to be a backup in case Lundberger goes down?
Yeah, I think that's probably right, Marcus. He is more of a backup. And Long has shown a bit of form over the preseason, so it'll be interesting to see how much game time he gets. If we knew, with Brown out, there's a lot of chance that Lewenberger will spend a bit more time up forward. If we knew he was just going to play on the ball as a sole ruck like he did last year, he would be an excellent pick because he came home so strong last year. There's just enough doubts for me to stay away this year, but he's played 44 games out of 44 in the last 2 years, so not many ruckmen can say that. And he could be a good pick.
Yeah, I agree that I think Hudson's just there, mainly in a mentoring role, I view him as. Given that Lewenberger and they drafted Longa last year, they've got two rather young, inexperienced ruckmen. They probably just want someone more to help them, you know, around training and stuff and game preparation rather than Hudson actually, Voss ever having a plan to play Hudson, just given the age of the list that they've got. There's no sort of hope of a premiership or anything this year. So, yeah, that's my view of what Hudson's there for. Another guy that doesn't have a lot of competition for the number one ruck role is Ben McAvoy. I was considering him at one point in the preseason, mainly because of that, you know, Koschitzky plays a bit in the ruck, but it's mainly pinch hitting. There's no other real contender for that number one ruck spot at St Kilda, but his output during the NAB Cup has been fairly poor. Correct me if I'm wrong there, guys.
I think you're right. I don't think he's been particularly impressive over the NAB Cup. But then again, breeding too much into premium during NAB Cup form can be risky. But I'm probably leaning towards passing on him as well. I'm not sure exactly how he's going to go this year, considering Koschitzky looks to be completely up and running. And McAvoy did only manage an average of 89 with Cozzy in the team last year. Having said that, Stanley looks to be the one who's going to take over that pinch-hitting ruck role this year, with Cozzy set to spend pretty much all of his time playing at full forward, I think. So maybe it'll be a bit different. I don't think Stanley's quite as good as Cozzy currently. So I don't think he's a bad selection, but I probably prefer Mumford and Lewenberger to McAvoy.
Sure. Now, the next player we want to talk about is an excitement machine, Nick Naitanui. You'd almost pick him just on how exciting he is. He managed to push out a 93 average last year. No reason why he can't jump up again this year, another 10, even 20 points. Looks like at some stage he's going to be a lock for most Supercoach teams, whether that's this year or not is still to be seen. I think he's going to take a fair bit of the rucking duties this year. He's got a great leap on him, and he should be able to beat a lot of the opposition in those rucking duels, so he should get a lot of points from that. The probably main concern on him at the moment is how many possessions he's getting around the ground. He does get a lot of contested ball, but doesn't really get many free possessions like a Cox would. I think he's still a pretty good pick, though, at about 500,000 this year.
Yeah, well, actually, over the weekend, you know, I'm pretty starved for football at the moment, given that I don't have Foxtel. So I decided to jump on YouTube and just watch a Nick Naitanui highlights reel. And it was just, you know, thrilling from start to finish. And one of the things that stood out for me is how talented he is at being able to grab the ball out of the ruck and just kick a miraculous goal from the boundary. So that's one thing to consider, that, you know, he mightn't be having the high possession counts as some of the other ruckmen, but, you know, combined with his excellent ability to have hitouts to advantage, you know, along with his ability to push forward and kick goals, I think he can produce quite a bit with fairly limited possessions.
Yeah, I think he looks, I don't think he can go backward, which is nice to say in the ruck division this year, which is really enough of a selling point for Naitanui. I guess the only reason you wouldn't pick Naitanui is maybe if you're looking at somebody else in his same price range would be Jacobs, or if you're looking maybe for somebody who's already achieved premium numbers so far in their career. So that's Cox and Mumford, who've already discussed. So I don't see much wrong with that selection. And Naitanui has been floating in and out of my team this preseason. And as Mark often mentions in the podcast, he's excellent to watch, and that's a more than good enough reason to have him in your Supercoach side. So Sam Jacobs is the other ruckman I just mentioned, playing for Adelaide. Probably the best, the most favourable part about his selection is the fact that he has a really good SOS, or strength of schedule. Adelaide play, I think we've covered this quite a few times, but GWS, Gold Coast and Port Adelaide each twice. So with Adelaide probably on the up, I think last year was they performed a lot below what we'd expect from them considering their list talent. So they should be in for quite a rise this year. Probably not to the same extent as West Coast, but I wouldn't be surprised if that even happened. How do you guys feel about Sam Jacobs with very little ruck opposition as well? He looks like quite a good selection this year.
Yeah, I think what you said about Naitanui, that you'd pick him because he's so exciting. There's some players that I won't pick because they're so unexciting, and Jacobs is one of them. I just haven't considered him personally for my team. Fazzy's one of your family. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't mind it as a pick, mainly because of a comment that Poe just said before, in that, you know, with Nick Naitanui, you can't really see him going backwards, and that's probably a thing you could extend to Sam Jacobs as well. He's still a relatively young ruckman, and no real opposition for a spot as the number one ruckman, given that Ivan Marich is gone now and Jonathan Griffin's over at Frio. So, yeah, I see it as a pretty good pick if you're looking at going that sort of not quite the ultra premium, but, you know, you're a bit wary of those mid prices that we'll get to next.
I think one of the main reason I'm probably a bit hesitant on Jacobs is that, unlike many of the ruckmen that we've been talking about or that are doing really well in the competition. I mean, Cox, Goldstein, Mumford, Sandilands, Lundberger, McAvoy, Naitanui, they all have really just special elements to that game that really lift them. Naitanui, obviously, with his exceptional leap. McAvoy is a great contested mark. Cox gets disposals all across the ground. Goldstein and Lundberger are exception modern-day ruck talents. And Mumford is an absolute beast around the ground. And Sandilands is 211 centimeters. With Sam Jacobs, I don't think you get any X factor. You just get a ruckman who's very solid and works hard and is really good at his tap work. So in terms of scope of improvement, I probably don't see the same amount of potential in him as I do in a lot of the other ruckmen. And that probably has me the most hesitant, in that from 93, I don't necessarily see him jumping up to 110 or anything like that. I think 100 is a very likely average for Jacobs, and with Mumford, Goldstein, Cox, Sandilands all averaging above 110 this last year, you could potentially be losing up to 10 points per game on the absolute premium rucks in 2012. So that's probably the thing that has me a bit more hesitant.
This brings us to our next ruckman, who does have me a bit excited, and that is Matthew Kruser. He's coming into his fifth season. He's struggled a bit with injury the last 2 years, but he's had his first full preseason. He looks really fit. At least in the start of the year, he should be Carlton's number one ruck. There's some chance with Warnock coming back early-ish in the season that he might move into the forward line a little bit more, but I think he'll still spend a decent amount of time on the ball. He's great below his legs. He has great mobility. He should pick up 15 to 20 possessions a game. He's a goal kicker at 418,000. I think in a lot of other years, Kruser would just about be a lock. If you're picking two ruckmen, I think two premium ruckmen, I would be very keen on Kruser personally. Yeah, I think he's a really good pick this year. What do you guys think? He's got great Supercoach to Dream Team ratio. Do you guys agree?
Well, I think the biggest concern with Kruser is that he's just not going to hit that premium scoring this year. So I think we all don't see him sliding. I think probably 90 plus is likely, but I'm probably seeing him finishing in the low 90s more likely than touching that even. I doubt he'll get to 100 average is pretty much what I'm saying. And with that, he's probably not as tempting as he otherwise would be. And I guess the other concern would be that Warnock's, I think, on track to come back round two, and then does that put Kruser back into centre-half forward? Is that not a position we want to see him in? There's just a few more question marks on Kruser than I would like at his 418K price tag.
Oh, now, one pick that's sort of crop up in the last few weeks. It surprised me, to be honest, and it's really a result of Max Bailey's injury. But David Hale is now coming into calculations in a lot of teams, given that he probably has the sole ruck position locked up at Hawthorn with Renoff going over to Port Adelaide last year. And I'd be surprised to see Alistair Clarkson risking Roughhead in the ruck again.
I think he's ruled him out, actually, as well.
Yeah. So David Hale, forward ruck dual position, which isn't all that useful given the lack of people to link that up with, but at 406,000 is garnering a lot of attention. Have either of you two been tempted by David Hale?
He's a tall Hawthorn ruckman, almost guaranteed to get injured, isn't he?
I think he averaged 100 when Ruffy went down last season and he started.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit less than that, but in the second half of the season, he did average quite well.
Yeah, so now moving to maybe permanent ruck role, he does look quite tempting. I know he scored like 117 or something like that Supercoach points on the weekend, so he has had a really good first hit out playing as their number one ruck. I do like that selection.
I know some Hawks that are pretty excited by him. They say he's their best kick for goal. He's maybe even their best contested mark. One concern for me would be that he does have some durability concerns.
On to Hamish McIntosh from North Melbourne. It's a bit of a risky pick considering just how good Todd Goldstein is. We know that they're planning to play Goldstein, McIntosh, and Petrie all on the one team. So I'm not too sure exactly where his average will go from here. It's only going to increase, but to what extent and whether that'd be worthwhile actually selecting him. I mean, he could only move up to an 80 average. I think his season high has only been 91, 92 in the past. So at 364,000, while he does present value, he isn't as tempting as he should be considering what we know he's capable of. And he has shown some pretty good preseason form so far, actually.
Yeah, well, I'd say there's absolutely no risk of him missing out on a spot in the team. And that was sort of highlighted to me in trade week last year when North just pretty much took a stance that they weren't even fielding any offers for Hamish McIntosh because he's got some value on the market, but they seem to see him as an integral part of their lineup. What that sort of means in terms of his Supercoach scoring being combined with Goldstein and Petrie, who doesn't play much in the ruck but is still another tall in the team, is really a mystery because you can't sort of read too much into the NAB Cup games, especially the NAB Challenge or whatever they're called, when players are spending half the game, you know, on the bench or subbed off or whatever. You know, Goldstein is going to be their number one ruck, you'd have to think, and be getting at least a majority of the hitouts and center bounces and everything. So, yeah, I just don't really know where it leaves McIntosh.
Yep, I wouldn't pick him personally. I just think the scores are really going to be split between those two guys. Another player that maybe I'd probably have a bit ahead of McIntosh is Ivan Marek, who has moved to Richmond from Adelaide, and he looks like being pretty much their sole ruck. They've got Vickery that can come through and help him out. Has a terrible scoring history, never averaged above 70. I'd see him averaging 80 this year. I think he could have a decent year if he can stay on the park this year, despite his haircut. We saw a lot of change up in the top scoring last year from the ruckman, with Sandilands going down a little bit, Mumford, Leuenberger, Goldstein all coming right up. If you had to predict two ruckmen who you think are going to have the highest Supercoach averages by the end of the season, who would they be?
Dean Cox, Shane Mumford.
Yeah, Dean Cox is definitely there. Number two, I reckon it could be Leuenberger, to be honest. I think he's got what it takes to, you know, perform that highly. I've still got the concerns with Mumford as to how his ruck time is going to be managed.
Yep, I think that's a decent argument you've got there, Faz. Personally, I'm going to go with Cox and Mumford as well. I think Naida Nui's probably my person that might threaten that top two.
Wow, that's very high hopes on that, Nui. I expect he will be in your team come round one then.
I'm not sure at this stage, mate.
Okay, not giving away too much. I like it. All right, considering a lot of the premium ruckmen do have a bit of question marks about them, there has been a shift in recent weeks toward the mid-pricer, the Nat Nui, Jacobs, Cruiser, Hale, McIntosh, Marich types. How do you guys feel about going with a mid-pricer over a premium? Is that a hard and fast rule on what type of player you take, or do you just judge a player on his merits?
I think that one premium ruck and one mid-priced ruck is actually not a bad strategy. I've used it in the past on a couple of times with great success with, I think, Cox and McIntosh, and then probably Sanderlands and David Hill after the mid-pricers had come back from injury. And both times it worked really, really well. So I think a mid-pricer in your second ruck position is not a terrible strategy. Personally, I would be taking Cruiser if you couldn't tell from what I've said already.
However, I wouldn't be going, it's a strategy we're about to get to, but I wouldn't be looking at a mid-pricer and then, you know, three rookies or two mid-pricers. I think you want at least one premium ruckman just to keep up with those scores that the top guys will be putting out.
Totally agree with that, and I don't think I could run with two. So this brings us to the next strategy, which is being discussed a lot on the forums this season, and that is a premium as your first ruck, so a Leuenberger or a Mumford or a Cox or Naito Nui, and then having Giles as your second ruck playing on the ground every week with Redden and Stevenson on your bench. Now, it is pretty good as this preseason's gone on. It does look like we've got three rookie rucks that we can choose from. What do you guys think of that strategy?
I think it's pretty much the strategy to go with, if I'm being honest. I'd like to keep it a secret and stuff, but I'm pretty sure that there are a few secrets left in fantasy football nowadays, and I do think rookie R2 is probably the way to go. There were doubts initially, as Mark said, but it has firmed up, particularly with the emergence of Redden at Port Adelaide. Primus has stated is going to play in round one bar any freak injury, so Redden will line up as their number one ruck for the start of the year, and that's good enough to lock Giles into that rookie R2 position.
What do you think, Baz?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, really, when you consider just a year ago, I don't know if we even talked about rucks very much because everyone was pretty set on the set and forget pick, Cox, Sanderlands, and just don't worry about it for the year. And that change to the ruck rules has just highlighted how much value there is to be had in the ruck line.
I think that the biggest advantage of the rookie at R2 strategy is that Giles looks like he's going to be just about my highest scoring rookie. Of all the players under 150,000, it looks like he could easily be the highest scoring or he'll be the top three. So I think you really want to have that sort of player on the ground if you can. That's probably the biggest reason that draws me towards that strategy. I think that it is going to be the strategy this year, and I think that it is will be the most profitable ruck strategy, but there's still an element of risk to it. And I know a lot of good coaches that aren't going that way because if Giles fails, there's sort of not many ways you can really get out of it all that well. I kind of like a Naito Nui Cruiser ruck combination, and I think in a lot of other years I'd be going that, but with the three good candidates, I think rookie at R2 is probably the way to go this year.
I've got to agree with you, Mark. The best way to get ahead in this competition, especially at the start, is to have the best rookies on field. And because of that, especially this year, considering we seem hard-pressed to find a high-scoring rookie that's cheap, at least, not coming with that high draft price tag. Giles seems like a must-have on the ground. Again, that there's that risk that's involved with it. But with the emergence of Redden and with Stevenson still in line for 12 to 22 games, definitely a big fan. And
well, so just while we're on the topic, Marcus, I might ask you about how you feel. You just mentioned it before, but if you want to go in a bit more detail as to Stevenson's job security, given that Giles has his bye in round 11 and a lot of the popular premium options that people are considering, Leuenberger, Cox, Naito Nui, Jacobs as well, all have their bye in round 11. It means that a lot of teams will be missing two ruckmen. Assuming that Giles is still playing in your team, but it looks like you could have two ruckmen missing come round 11. So are you confident that Stevenson will still be in the side to cover that hole?
I think the assumption is that, especially considering Giles is such a high-scoring rookie, that he will be traded into a premium that suits your bye schedule by the time the buys roll around. But if you were left in that situation where you do need Stephenson to cover for you, like I said, 12 to 22, 12 more, way more likely than 22. Vardy is on track to come back mid-season. How quickly he pushes for selection, I don't know. Stephenson won't get a game once he comes back. Dawson Simpson has had a interrupted preseason with back surgery. He comes back early in the season. Again, I would have thought that he'd challenge for Stephenson for a position in Geelong's team, but again, with an interrupted preseason, you'd think that the Chockies will go to Stephenson. I think that we'll play him based on a week-to-week basis, based upon the opposition ruckman we come up against. So it might be a bit risky if you're depending on Stephenson for cover, especially if it's halfway through the season, because I think his job security is only going to get weaker as the season progresses. Having said that, again, I think if you're going with a rookie at R2, you would assume that Giles will be traded out by then, and you can just decide on a premium that fits your buy structure.
All right, well, given that we've talked about Giles, and with Greater Western Sydney having their first game this Saturday night against Sydney, now we need to lock in all of our GWS and Sydney players before Saturday night, the first, the partial lockout. So we'll now move on to looking at the rookie options from...
Sorry, just quickly before we get to that, I want to talk... No, no problems. I just want to talk, like you said, Faz, that we're going to have to lock these GWS rookies away. If you're going to put... If you're planning on a rookie R2 strategy, do you still put Giles at R2 or do you potentially put him at R3, leaving you an extra week to decide if you want to put a premium back into your second ruck?
I had actually thought that I might do that if Brogan was going to play in round one, but all reports are that he's not going to play in round one anyway. So I don't think you're going to really have any extra information, and Giles does look like the better scorer. Maybe you could put... It gives you the option to put Red on the ground, but personally, I'm just going to put Giles at R2.
Yeah, the risk that you play there is that, you know, you put Giles as R3 with emergency, and then he comes out and, you know, rips out 100 or something. You then don't really have a way of getting that score onto your field without, you know, picking a ruckman that's not playing first week. And all reports are that Redden and Stephenson will both be getting a game, you know, in a fortnight's time. So... you're sort of stuck with Giles' score on the bench, which is sort of the point in picking the three ruck rookies, is to get those scores on the field.
Is, you know, the difference between Giles' potential score and Redden's potential score worth like an extra week of information? Like maybe McIntosh goes down and then all of a sudden Goldstein is one of the best options out there, or not really? Is that just being too tricky for your own good?
Too tricky to me.
Okay. So having covered that, let's, as Faz said, move on to the GWS Sydney rookies. The Sydney rookies, I think we're going to give it largely a miss. I'll just quickly go through them now. We had Cunningham, who hasn't been upgraded onto the senior list yet, so it looks unlikely for games early. He was the one that we thought most likely, apart from Walsh, who they might want to put some game time into, but has very low scoring potential. He hasn't looked very good at all in the NAB Cup in terms of fantasy perspective, and I definitely wouldn't be selecting him. We had McNeil that we were looking out for that didn't come through. Mitchell was has been injured, so he will be looking to him for a downgrade option later in the season. That's it for the Sydney rookies, and we're just going to launch straight into the GWS one, starting from the back line, where we'll be looking at Moore, Bug, and Daly. Who do you guys like the most out of the three?
Personally, I like Bug and Daly out of those two. I think they have of those three, they have the highest scoring potentials. Daly over the preseason's probably even had the higher out of the three. My concern with Daly is probably some job security. I think Bug will play most weeks. He'll probably miss a week here and there because he will be rotated like a lot of the Greater Western Sydney rookies. If Daly's named round one, though, I'm pretty keen on him as well. Moore seems that little bit more reliable with his job security, but his scoring just doesn't seem like it's going to be quite as good. He got torn apart by Jack Riewoldt on the weekend where we were up kick six.
I agree with Mark in that Moore doesn't look like he'll be much of a scorer, although, again, his job security looks best. I think people comparing him to last year, who was the guy that, Code, that got picked, that scored 80 twice, similar sort of start, but I don't think he's going to notch up 80s like Code did in the two games he played. So I probably have Daly ahead of Bug. Bug, I think, didn't rack up as much stats as a junior as Daly did. So that's the only reason I have leaning toward him, because looking too closely at preseason form for GWS can get a bit confusing with who's been rested and different game situations and whether they actually got a consistent run at it. So obviously, glaringly good performances during the NAB Cup should be paid attention to. It's not too bad to just maybe step back from that as well and consider these rookie selections from their junior history or their prior club history, because that can be a good indication of how they'll go. I mean, Isles last year wasn't talked about too much, but he really was quite a strong scorer once he actually broke into the side. He started off, of course, with a limited preseason injury interrupted.
Let's move to the midfield then. The first player we want to look at is Stephen Clifton. Now, he has one of those mature midfielders that have come from the VFL system, I think, where he has a really good scoring history, some really strong performances. He should be able to... he sort of reminds me of Isles more than some of the other players from Greater Western Sydney, just because he does have that stronger body. And the one thing about Isles is once he started was he was getting consistent games and consistent scoring. And to some extent, I expect that from Clifton. He seems like he will fill that role. He's a good tackler, should get enough of the ball to put out 60s or 70s every week. There's some concerns over his job security out there in the community and whether he has like a really big ceiling or not. But I think he's a fairly solid pick personally at 130,000.
Probably not as hot on Clifton as I was on Isles last year. That's just based on what I've seen from him so far this preseason. And as Mark said, the job security issue is one that's probably worth looking at. I don't think you can be as confident in Clifton's job security as most people would have thought, especially early in preseason. I think through the NAB Cup, he's probably dropped a bit in the pecking order. And considering he is priced a bit higher at 130,000, he's not actually in my team at the moment. But I am particularly averse to GWS rookies. So,
is he in your team, Faz?
Yeah, he is currently sitting in there. But one thing I've just sort of thought about, you know, with what you just mentioned there, Marcus, is that when he was playing in the VFL, I think he was at North Ballarat, who were quite a successful team at the time. That's where Isaac Smith came through, and Miles Sewell as well. I don't think he's on an AFL list, but he's, you know, one of the highest rated of the non-AFL players in the country. And the fact that he was able to rack up a lot of possessions there doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, playing for GWS, he'll be able to do the same thing. I didn't actually see any of his games, so I don't know what his game style is like, but it's a much different thing getting 25 possessions in a team that's, you know, winning every game than it is for a team that's probably going to be, you know, dragging along the bottom of the ladder the whole year. One thing, though, that has me encouraged about Clifton's job security, though, is the fact that the different recruiting styles that Gold Coast and GWS have adopted means that the midfield nucleus of GWS is much younger. They don't have those Ablets and Riscatellis and Brennans that can run through. They got the much older players like Power and McDonald, but I don't see them as being able to provide much protection for the younger players, because, you know, even guys like Reece Palmer and Scully and Callan Ward, you know, they've got good sized bodies on them, but they're not seasoned AFL players that can come through and really protect the new crop of draftees that they got. So I see Clifton as, you know, playing a bit of that role of just being one of those guys that can just go into the packs and not and prevent some of the younger bodies at GWS from being so injured and sore by the end of the year.
The next GWS rookie we're going to look at is James McDonald, age 35, played in the VAFA last year, and is one of those old playing assistant coaches this year for the GWS. The biggest concern with James McDonald is not really his scoring potential, it's his ability to get on the park just because of how old he is. He's likely going to be managed throughout the season. I'm not sure exactly how many games he'll be playing this year. I could see anywhere between 12 and probably 18. I doubt he'll play every game, but he could play as few as 12 even, I reckon. And the other thing would be, when he actually does play, does McDonald get the sub vest? He has been playing quite limited game time throughout the NAB Cup. Again, with GWS, it's very hard to tell because they've been exposing a few different rookies and doing a few different things, and you can't tell, you don't know if they want to save McDonald for when the real stuff starts. But he's been playing just halves and hasn't been particularly impressive in the scoring department either. But having said that, he's very low, cheaply priced at 106,000. How do you guys feel about McDonald? He is a very popular selection around the draft teams.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't in everyone's team. I'm not totally convinced that he's going to work out. I'm not convinced that he's going to play a heap of game time. There seems to be some evidence that the game might have passed him a little bit, but I just think everyone else is going to pick him, and if he comes out and can average 70, then he'll work out as a really good pick. So definitely in my team all preseason, and even though I've had some doubts, he hasn't left the team.
I think he's got a bit of a point to prove, to be honest, given that, you know, Melbourne let him go despite him having a very strong season back in 2009, and I think he was captain of the club at the time, but they you know, decided that they wanted to go in a different direction and that youth was the way to go. So I think he just will have that, you know, he might have a bit of a sore, you know, hammy or calf muscle or something, but, you know, that'll be the one thing that sort of keeps him from taking a rest that week, is because he just wants to show show the football world and the Melbourne Football Club in particular that, you know, they made a mistake and that he still had something to offer.
It's an interesting proposition to look between McDonald and Miles. Miles is 20 years old, so 15 years younger, about the same price for the midfield. He's put up some really big numbers in the preseason already. His junior history has a history of him scoring huge numbers, but he's going to be that much smaller frame. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, whether the bigger body, the older body, is able to get more games than Miles, who really should actually be a better scorer than McDonald if he could get a regular gig. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be in GWS's best side. I think he's been in and out throughout the NAB Cup. Is that right, Mark?
It is right, but I mean, that can just be player management. Like, I think he's played 2.5 or so games. Like, he's played a bit.
I personally hadn't looked at him that seriously until he started bobbing up in teams everywhere. So my information's probably not too great there. But as Mark said, what I do know is that he was an absolute gun in terms of an extractor when he was playing junior football, and I think his disposal counts were in the 30s for the under 18 championships. So if he gets on park, if he's named round one, you'd be looking pretty closely at Miles. And I know that the most three popular GWS midfield rookies at this stage of the preseason are in fact Clifton, Miles, McDonald.
Except you are excluding the second most popular rookie. That's because he's 190,000, and that's Stephen Coniglio, the number two draft pick, who is in quite a lot of teams. I think it's like 20% of teams if you look at the percentage ownership stats. I know that you're against paying 190,000 for a rookie, aren't you, Marcus?
Yeah, but that is possibly, I might make an exception to that, and I think I may have mentioned it in the previous podcast, and that's if you're exposing yourself to a lot of rookie risk in your midfield, that I would almost definitely consider a high-priced but very high job security rookie if you're playing three or more rookies. So if you're going to look at a rookie at M4, I'd most definitely be looking at Coniglio or somebody like Wingard or Hogan, although Hogan's job security has looked a bit iffy.
Sure. I know he played half a game on the weekend. He absolutely blitzed it in that first half. Hasn't played a heap of other time during the preseason. Do you think he can equal what Swallow did last year?
No. And I think we've probably talked, I remember talking about this in the podcast before, and the reason we gave was just that Swallow had that year playing VFL football and he absolutely killed it. And Coniglio probably just isn't at that same level of development. Could turn out to be an even better player, who knows? But currently, his current development phase compared to where Swallow was last year, quite a different proposition. And Swallow only managed, what was that, 80 last year, is that right?
I think it might have actually been a little bit less than that, about 75.
So is that a worry then, if he was more ready and he only averaged 75? If Coniglio averages 70, he's a failure as a selection, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I guess so, because there's other options that you could get for 90,000 cheaper that might average 60 or 70. I think probably the biggest concern with his scoring is that, Swallow was 79.5. I think the biggest concern with Coniglio's scoring is just how little share of the scoring GWS are going to get. Like, he would have to be their third best midfielder for the year to be getting 80, I think. So that's going to be a problem. And I know that is influencing you, Marcus, when you say that you're limiting the amount of GWS rookies that you're actually picking. It's because their share of the 3,300 points is going to be quite low.
I'd just like to bring up one point about what you said with his development in comparison to David Swallow. I realise I'm not comparing apples with apples here, but he has played a majority of the last two seasons in the seniors in the Waffle. So, you know, the VFL is probably a premier competition in comparison to the Waffle, but it is still senior bodies, and I can't see him being overwhelmed or anything. He's a very classy footballer. I do agree with most of the points that you've said about he's not worth the extra money and everything, but I don't think that there's such a vast gap in terms of the development between the two of those players.
We'll just move on to the forward rookies now. Adam Kennedy is one player that I admittedly didn't know too much about. Mark, do you want to fill us in on him a bit?
Kennedy looks like quite a good scorer. He has good disposal efficiency, 19 years old, so he's a year older than some of the other rookies. Still fairly small frame. I think that he will be rotated to some extent, but with the mid-forward eligibility, you might be able to cover that a little bit. If you're struggling for rookies in your forward line, I think Kennedy could be quite a good pick.
Devon Smith, former Geelong Grammar boy, has been really impressive in the NAB Cup so far. Not so much with the amount of times he gets the pill, but more so what he does when he actually managed to find the ball. Again, a mid-forward DPP eligible player, 131,000 years premium price. He was a high draft pick, and I know has broken into a lot of teams despite that high price tag, such as the attractive brand of football that he plays. He does stand out amongst all the young GWS rookies when you're watching them play.
I think just lock him in. He looks like probably one of the better GWS rookies. He is eligible as a forward, so there's enough there to think that he'll be quite a good pick. I know I was speaking to my mate Nate last night, and he said he didn't like the look of him and he didn't like his face, but that's not a good enough reason to leave him out.
To me, the fact that he got picked in the first round of the draft standing only at 174 centimetres, like, there's got to be something very special about a player to go that high in the draft at such a small height.
Has played two games, I think, in the preseason, got 27 possessions against the Hawks and kicked 3 goals on the weekend. So looks like he gets amongst it.
Now, the last rookie that we're going to look at is Jeremy Cameron. He's a key position forward at 194 centimetres, listed only at 81 kilos on the GWS website. So he is a bit light still, but that is to be expected for a young key position forward. 113K, and we did see last year that Gold Coast did manage to have some decent scoring key position forwards playing. They are inconsistent, but with enough talent, they do have the occasional big game. And not too bad a selection, but probably prefer Kennedy and Smith with their DPP eligibility.
Yeah, I think that the advantage that Cameron probably has over someone like a Kennedy is his job security, which seems to be pretty good. I think he will play a lot, might get rested, of course, like a lot of the players. It reminds me a bit of Tom Lynch in his scoring. Tom Lynch was from Gold Coast last year, was able to average 52 over the course of the year. So I think if you could get someone with good job security that was just going to average 52, that's not a really poor result. So I'd definitely be considering him.
This show has gone for a while now. Hopefully it's been of use to you pre our first lockout. There's one more partial lockout to come after this. How many GWS rookies are you guys planning on carrying into season 2012?
I'm probably looking at 5 or 6.
Yeah, well, I've been tweaking my team as we've been recording tonight, and the count at the moment is at 5, spread across the lines with 2 in the midfield and 1 everywhere else, and I wouldn't want to go any higher. I don't know about, does that seem too high still to you, Marcus?
Well, I currently have 2. I'm probably going to have 3 or 4, but currently 2. That is a bit because of my structure. It's fairly unique.
Mid prices.
I haven't seen it around too much, so that might change. But
I say, so keeping your cards, you know, close to your chest,
yeah,
you? Not letting on who those rookies might be.
No, I'll let.
I don't think he has any rookies in his team, but Faz, I think he's just got mid prices even on his bench, mate.
Yeah, I do.
That's the way to go, I think.
I got Giles at the moment, obviously, and I've got Dali at the moment as well.
So you don't have McDonald?
No, I don't.
And Devon Smith?
And yeah, you don't have Smith either.
Not at the moment. But there is another 4 days to go, Mark. And I think how the DT scores actually convert into the Supercoach scores when we actually get that NAB Cup Supercoach spreadsheet from the Herald Sun.
I wonder whether we'll have to pay for. It'll probably be behind the paywall.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one thing that's definitely worth paying for. So,
Do you mean getting a free trial for?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly it. But to be honest, Smith does look good, and the 4 rookie options I'm not as keen for, because some have high job security but have low scoring potential, and others have high scoring potential but low job security. So Smith does look pretty good to come in there, but not really tempted by McDonald.
With the lockout this week, it's put us in a really strange situation where we're going to know Gold Coast, Sydney teams before we know any of the other teams. You know that all these rookies are going to play for Gold Coast, then are you just going to sort of be more tempted to lock an extra 1 or 2 in, knowing that they're going to play, rather than relying on ledgers and players like that, that whether or not they're going to play the following week?
I think you bet GWS, not Gold Coast then, but yep. I think that'll be the trend, that when the teams actually get released, that a lot of people will end up locking in those GWS players. I mean, also depends on how willing you are to go with players who are currently injured but look like they're in their best 21 when they're not. So, I mean, we're talking Magna and Neil. Both of their senior coaches have said that they were in line for round one before they got injured. Both have very short-term injuries. It will be interesting to see how it plays out and how many people end up running GWS rookies, but I have a feeling that Mark, you'll be right in that a lot of people will start placing a lot more GWS rookies when team lists are released, and that's only normal. We have that every single year. So that's a very good point to bring up, and something that people should keep in mind is that stick to your guns. Try to have your team locked before team lists come out and change only minimally. Don't make any drastic changes because you can really screw your team up doing that.
Yep, sure. Couple of things that I just want to mention. One, to be careful about the fact that there's a lot of mature age people from Greater Western Sydney, like the Luke Powers and Brogans, etc., that won't actually be playing in round one. So that means there's probably going to be as many as five extra kids in that team, which could be even more tricky when it comes to sort of round two and which rookies you're picking, because I think the round one team is actually going to be quite misleading. The other thing I wanted to mention was we didn't mention Sheil, who is a GWS mid-eligible rookie and is rated as possibly the best of the lot in terms of Supercoach scoring this year. So he's had his appendix out about 4 or 5 weeks ago. He did play half a game in the reserves on the weekend and apparently racked it up in the time that he was playing. He might not be named this week, but he's probably likely to play by round two, and he's someone that I know a lot of people are considering, even if he's not named this week.
I think with Sheil, I'd be tempted to use the round three sort of get our jail free card before prices change. And well, if Sheil doesn't play round one, that his price change will extend even further than that. But I'd be tempted to hold off and maybe trade him in later. But I know, like Mark said, a lot of people in the fantasy community are hot on him and have locked him in despite his pretty much non-existent preseason. It feels a bit risky to me. What will you be doing in terms of Sheil?
Probably think that you just gave us very sound advice, Marcus.
Cool. Any more advice for our audience before they head off to the first lockout?
Pick at least one Sydney player in your team because they do have a very good early run. So, yep, I encourage you to do that.
I'm with all the strugglers out there. So, yeah, good luck, everybody.
And remember, next week is our last preseason show. We will be doing midfield, mid-price, and forwards, and looking at the remainder of the rookies from all the clubs. So do come back for the last preseason show. Wish you all the best of luck for your first lockout of season 2012. And do remember facebook.com/yoursupercoachcoach. And you can follow us on Twitter at @your_sc_coach and at @FBDonkey. Thanks for the show, guys.
I think it'd be remiss not to mention Jim Stein, so RIP Jimmy.
Legend on and off the field. Yeah.